New subject. Earlier this year, we talked with a sea captain who regularly ambushed pirates who wanted to steal his ship. Recently, some pirates out in the Indian Ocean decided to attack a U.S. warship. That wasn't too smart. The guy who was rescued by Navy SEALs, captain of a ship that had been captured by pirates a year ago Easter, recently put out a book. That's one aspect to stealing ships. Max Harberger is a sea captain who steals back ships that have been stolen by other kinds of people. And he just published a book on this subject that I just finished reading. It's called Seized. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Max.
Thank you, sir.
You never served in the military, I don't think, but you surely have dealt with people who are the enemies of civilization and law and order and those kind of folks. In fact, interacting with them seems to be what you do best. Is that right?
Well, I don't know about doing it best, but I do it a lot.
Apparently, and you are both an airplane pilot and a sea captain. What kind of kid were you growing up?
Skinny, small, frightened.
But somehow, well, it's in your book, you came out of it and sort of found yourself doing things that most people don't do. But apparently your first love is the sea. But love of sea doesn't make you a captain. How did you progress from developing an interest in the sea to being qualifying as a captain on a ship?
Well, I got a captain's license in the Louisiana oil fields back when I was in college. Like many people in South Louisiana, you know, who work in their holidays in the oil field. But I didn't really use it until I decided to get out of flying. And when I got tired of crop dusting, I went to Miami. And since I had a captain's license already, I was able to step on board a small Haitian freighter as a captain. And I just continued from there.
And I learned an awful lot by reading your book. And I thought that I knew a bit. But there are an awful lot of people in the world that will steal a ship theoretically, legally. And that has sort of created an environment where you stepped into. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, that's right. Wherever there's a need, there has to be an answer. And there has long been a need, especially in the Caribbean, for someone who can get ships out of corrupt foreign jurisdictions.
Tell us a few of the incidents. What is the situation in the Caribbean and some other places in the world that creates a situation where you've got to steal ships back to get them to the rightful owners?
Well, the problem is the way that international shipping works, that a ship can leave a port and never come back. So everybody on shore knows that if you're going to make any more money out of that ship, you've got to keep it there. The best way to keep it there is to come up with a trumped-up, bogus claim against the ship through a court. And seize the ship, and then you can sell it to yourself or sell it to somebody and keep the money. So it's not new. This is something, this has been a problem for some 3,000 years that I know about. The problem has been in the Caribbean recently is that there's some governments, like the Venezuelan government, who care nothing about international law and don't care what people think about them. So that kind of attitude encourages and fosters this kind of theft.
And there are an awful lot of countries in the world that we would call, by American standards, lacking ethics, corrupt, because the way they simply do business is through bribing and that sort of thing. That's their normal way of doing business, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right, because we don't realize it. But, for example, in Venezuela, judges are paid almost nothing. The government expects them to augment their income by bribes. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the way it's done. Every policeman in Venezuela considers it his right and prerogative to take bribes from people he stops, for traffic violations. So to us, it's a horrible thing. To them, it's a way of life.
You know, there's about 200 nations in the world. As near as I can tell, something like 150 of them have at least some aspect of that as part of the culture of their nation. So why would we be surprised when, if you sailed a ship into their harbor, they wouldn't use whatever means they could to take advantage of it, right?
That's exactly right.
So what happened then is somebody sailed a ship into a harbor and somebody got the idea that they could file some kind of a claim or something, and all of a sudden it would be subject to being seized and sold. Pick a story, Max, and give us an example of what happens to some ships that sail into some South American ports.
Well, a good example of a very clever scam was a crime family operating out of Peru. They chartered a ship, my client's ship, and they knew that they were going to steal the ship, so they chartered it and they specifically booked the cargo to Puerto Cabello, Venezuela, where they had a judge already ready to bribe and seize the ship. When the ship got there and they hadn't paid the charter hire, then the ship owner tried to stop them from taking the cargo. The ship was immediately seized. The captain and chief engineer were put in jail, and then the owner had to send me down there to steal the ship out. So it was a scam from the very beginning, and one that shows that this crime family that did it had a very strong and broad understanding of how things work in the shipping business.
Well, that's not surprising. Kids learn what they can do and how far they can go to get away with things with their parents. And people who work in business and legal environments know how far they can go and what they have to do. And why wouldn't you plan ahead?
Absolutely. And in terms of piracy, that kind of piracy is extremely effective, because once a ship has been sold at a judicial auction, even in a corrupt country, then no other country in the world can make any claim that the ship doesn't belong to the person who bought it at that auction, no matter how corrupt the auction was.
So someone who allows a ship they own or control or have financial interest in to sail into one of those ports is doing it at pretty big risk.
Right. And the reason you do that is because when things go right, you make a tremendous amount of profit when you own a ship.
Okay. And that's the big deal. You take a risk. If you hit, you make big money. If you don't hit, you lose, right?
That's right.
Tell us a story about how you stole a ship out.
Well, let's see. I guess a good one would be the Maya Express, which a guy stole the ship in the Dominican Republic and took it to Haiti because he thought he could hide it in Haiti. The mistake he made was taking it to my little port in Haiti, Miragoan, where I live sometimes and I have a lot of friends. So it was very easy to find the ship. I just called one of my friends. He said, yeah, it's right here in Miragoan. So when I got there, of course, I had to do quite a few things to keep the police and everybody else from knowing what I was doing. But the fact that Haiti was in revolution, there were no police. The guards that were on board were private guards. The roads were full of bandits because all the jails and the prisons had been emptied. So my task was not only to get the ship out, which, by the way, the ship had no engine power. It was completely derelict, so we had to bring a tug in to take it out. And then the scariest part was me trying to get 4 hours over the mountain road from Miragoan back to Port-au-Prince to get there before dawn and before the ship was discovered missing. So I suppose that was the toughest.
So there was a ship, you found it fast enough, but then you had to arrange for a tug to show up. You had to arrange for something to make sure that law enforcement didn't interfere. You had to deal with, as I recollect from your book, there were a couple of armed pirate-type people aboard. You had to deal with them. And you did all that, and you watched the ship sail off.
Yep, but it was a scary moment when that ship came past me, where you remember in the book where I was in the wheelhouse of another ship.
Yes.
And the ship came so close that the moonlight on the white side of the ship lit up the entire town. I can tell you, my heart was thumping hard then.
Are you an adrenaline junkie, Max? I sense that you are.
No, not at all. In fact, I try to do all of these things as businesslike and professionally as I can. I mean, I do some things for fun, like riding motorcycles and that kind of thing. But as far as this business is just a business. It's not fair to my client or to my partners or to my crewmen if I have anything except a totally professional attitude toward it.
But you have been involved in certainly a dozen situations in your life where somebody has called and said, this ship is legitimately mine and it's being unjustly kept by people. Can you steal it out of the harbor? And you've been successful.
Well, I've been consulted many more times than that, but I was unable to do it otherwise in about a dozen cases and had to take them out, extraction. That's correct.
But by the same token, you have some values here, because if it turns out that they sold you a BS story and it's not what they said, you won't do business with them, right?
That's right. In fact, Michael Bono, my partner, and I, we're both lawyers, and we do a very, very thorough vetting of prospective clients before we decide to take an actual extra legal action like this. We can't afford to be wrong, in other words.
Max, I'm sure my listeners are going to be interested in reading Seized. I know I did. How can they get a copy? Where are they?
Well, they can go to my website, maxhardberger.com, or they can go to any bookstore or to Amazon or Barnes & Noble's websites.
And this, it's really truth, but you put a little bit of fiction in it to keep the wrong people from getting burned or the innocent, right? Didn't you mix it up a little bit?
Oh, I had to, because a lot of these guys are still alive, and I certainly couldn't identify my friends, and I don't want to get in legal trouble even having to just even mount a defense. So what I've done is I've changed descriptions and changed names, but they're real guys, all right. And in fact, I've run into some of them since I stole their ships out. One guy in particular, I ran into him, and we had to work together for a week, and we both pretended like we'd never heard of the other.
Max, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your great book, and thank you for giving back to some of the world's bleeps what they richly deserve.
Well, thank you for that thought.